Welcome to the International Church of Skopje live Facebook stream. Bless you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. May his peace and protection rest upon you and upon your families at this challenging time. And I pray during this time that you may know him more and more by seeking his face through prayer and reading his word. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all of God's holy people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know that this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. Today is a very special day. Today we have a guest speaker, Pastor Tim Bentley, who will bring today's message. Pastor Tim is an ordained minister with the Assemblies of God. He lives in Macedonia with his wife Ellie and their son Bruin, and has done for the last 9 years. Pastor Tim has a great love for the people and the Word of God, and he's a close friend. And I pray that you listen to him to hear what the Spirit says to the church through his message, which he's prayed about, sought the Lord, and I pray that this day would bring you great encouragement. So let's welcome Tim in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Martin. I'm excited to be with my ICS family today. I bring you greetings from Pastor Mirce and the entire leadership of the Evangelical Church in Macedonia. Who would have thought in April of 2020, this is what church would look like? Even though we're not physically gathering together, we can still celebrate the goodness of God. It's important to remember, the church isn't a building. It's people. People from every tribe, people from every nation, people from every language group and every culture gathering together and publicly proclaiming that Jesus is Lord. In the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18 and verse 20, while speaking about the church, Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I shall be also." No matter where you are today, no matter what you are dealing with, Jesus is right there with you. If you have not asked him to be the Lord of your life, there's no better time than today. All you have to do is simply say, "Lord Jesus, I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I recognize that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. Would you come into my life, forgive me of my sins, change my heart, and make me more like you?" If you said that prayer, I want to be the first to welcome you into the family of God. I also want to encourage you to either call a local church or email us here at ICS. Let somebody know of the decision that you just made. Today, we're living in what many are calling perilous times. A virus is ravishing our world. Grocery store shelves are empty. Borders are closed. Airports have ceased to operate. Governmental curfews have been enacted. Some places around our world are in complete lockdown. And churches on multiple continents have been forced to modify their corporate worship services. In these challenging times, many are wondering where God is, and even if he cares. This morning, let me encourage you by saying, the COVID-19 pandemic has not caught God by surprise. In fact, if you look close enough, you will see God's handiwork. In Zambia, a self-proclaimed agnostic has recently opened his heart to Christ. In Italy, God is removing the walls of denominationalism and religion and turning people's hearts back towards him. In Austria, A local church reports their recent membership class had more people in attendance than all their classes last year combined. Across our world today, churches are reporting that their online attendance has been 2 to 3 times more than their average weekly attendance. In Argentina, an entire family gave their heart to Christ. I want to tell you a story about a young man named Facundo. Facundo was filled with fear and anxiety because many in his community were being diagnosed with the coronavirus. He called out to God for help. God spoke to his heart and encouraged him to begin praying for his family. So Facundo quickly called his family together and asked his unsafe parents and 3 siblings if he could pray for them. The family agreed, gathered in a circle, and held hands as Facundo began to pray. At that moment, the presence of God filled their house in a tangible way. Each family member asked Jesus to come into their lives, to forgive them of their sins, and to change their hearts. In the midst of this pandemic, the Spirit of God is moving all across our world. The focus of humanity is being turned back towards God. The gospel is being proclaimed, and many are giving their hearts to Christ. Brian Tabb, the academic dean at Bethlehem College and Seminary, recently published an article entitled Theological Reflections on the Pandemic. In this article, he makes a powerful and sobering statement. Sickness reveals our fears, exposes our idols, and serves as an urgent invitation to seek the Lord. The writer of James puts it in these words: My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The reality is, you and I can't control the situation we find ourselves in. However, we can control how we respond to this situation. I have a question for you this morning. Will we allow panic to control our minds, or will we allow the peace of God to rule and reign? 2 Sundays ago, Pastor Martin shared a sermon entitled, Our Security in an Insecure World. His scripture reading came from the book of Psalms, chapter 46. In his sermon, our pastor challenged us to remember that God is our shelter. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble, and He is the one who gives us strength. In the midst of this pandemic, many of us find ourselves dealing with a variety of emotions. Emotions like fear, anxiety, anger, sadness, frustration, and maybe even some of us are dealing with doubt. Let me tell you something about these feelings. These feelings are a normal response to any time of crisis. The question shouldn't be, how can we push away these feelings? But rather, how can we internalize and process these feelings in a healthy way? Today, I want to speak to you about a cognitive struggle we all face, especially in times of crisis. The struggle we're going to speak about is called unbelief. Our scripture reading will be from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 29. I'll be reading from the New International Version. If you have your Bibles with you, let's read these verses together. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my fingers where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and have yet believed. In the midst of this global crisis that has isolated us all, how do we as Christians protect ourselves from falling prey to unbelief? First, we must recognize that unbelief is not a new struggle. Those of us that seek to be honest before God will eventually deal with doubt at some point in our life. Many great men and women of faith struggled with and overcame doubt. Moses doubted when he said, I cannot do this, God. I cannot speak. Jeremiah, after being beaten and locked in stocks, doubted God and accused him of deception. Peter, his doubt led him to deny Jesus 3 times. Abraham and Sarah, heroes of our faith, both laughed at God and tried to have a child with a maidservant rather than trust in the promise that they would have a child in their own age. Gideon, who is recognized in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11, doubted either that God could or God would give him victory in what seemed like an impossible battle. Barak, the commander of the Israeli army, would not go into battle without Deborah, despite her prophecy of Israel's victory. In Luke chapter 7, Jesus calls John the Baptist the greatest man ever born. However, in that same chapter, while in prison, John sends messengers to Jesus, asking if he is really the Messiah. There are literally dozens of other examples of doubt throughout Scripture. So be encouraged today. First, by recognizing that unbelief is not a new struggle, and that we can overcome it with God's help. Secondly, by recognizing that doubt is a normal part of broken people trying to respond to a gracious and holy God. It is in the midst of doubt and through the process of dealing with doubt that we grow and mature in our faith. Before his crucifixion, Christ told his disciples that he would rise again on the 3rd day. The disciples were people like you and I. They had given up their lives. They had given up everything they knew to follow the Messiah. Most scholars believe that there were 3 years between the time Christ chose his disciples and the moment of his crucifixion. Imagine with me for a moment, spending most your day with the same person for 3 years. If this crisis continues any longer, maybe that may be the case for most of us. In fact, many married couples know exactly what I'm talking about. When you spend this much time with a person, you get to know them real well. Jesus wasn't just an acquaintance to these men. Jesus wasn't just another person in their lives. The disciples, didn't just know about Jesus. They intimately knew Jesus. They were a part of Christ's inner circle. You would think that the disciples would be the first to trust what the Master said. But in his Gospel, John shows the development of unbelief, which culminates with the crucifixion of Christ. Interestingly, John also shows the development of faith within the disciples of Christ. In John chapter 20, verses 18 through 25, the disciples were trying to convince Thomas of Christ's resurrection. But Thomas remained unconvinced. He needed proof. He wanted to see Jesus with his own eyes. Thomas experienced Jesus' teachings, his miracles, and healing power. However, his hope vanished when he saw Jesus arrested and executed. Is it possible that Thomas's faith was placed in the miracles that he saw and not in the Master that he followed? When we place our faith in the miracle and not in the Master, our hope will be misplaced. Misplaced hope will lead to disappointment and discouragement, which eventually will lead to a crisis of faith. When struggling with doubt, first, we must recognize that doubt is not a new struggle. Second, we must recognize that doubt is a normal part of broken people responding to a gracious and holy God. And third, we must recognize that a crisis of faith is not the end of our story. Continuing in the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 25 through 29. A week after Thomas's refusal to believe in the resurrection of Christ, the disciples were all together in the same house. Though the doors were locked, Jesus entered the room, stood among his disciples, and asked Thomas to touch his nail-scarred hands. At that moment, Thomas's faith was restored. An interesting point to note here is that the door to the house was locked. The disciples were afraid for their lives. It is in this setting that Jesus miraculously appears and declares to his faithful disciples, "Peace be with you." This morning, that same Jesus wants to bring peace into your life. He wants to bring peace into your circumstance. Would you open up your heart and allow him to do so? You see, Jesus brings peace to our crisis of faith. Today, the same Jesus that commanded the winds and the waves to be still is with you. The same Jesus that spoke peace into the life of his followers is the same Jesus that will speak peace into your circumstance. This type of peace is only found in Christ. It is the peace you have because your sins are forgiven. It is the peace you have because you are no longer alone. It's the peace that you have because you belong to Christ. When doubt comes, and it will come, instead of focusing on the bad things that life gives us, let's start focusing on everything Christ has done for us. One of the reasons that believers are overcome by doubt is because we focus on the negative and we forget the positive. When John the Baptist sent messengers to Jesus to find out if he was truly the Messiah, what message did Jesus send back to John? Jesus said, "Look at these signs. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have the good news brought to them." In other words, if we want to overcome doubt, we should count our blessings and not our problems. This is why the Apostle Paul told the church of Philippi not to be anxious about anything, but to pray about everything and to thank God for what he has already done. Something powerful happens when the people of God begin to pray prayers of thanksgiving. Negative thought patterns grow weaker. Chains of doubt are broken. Lives are transformed. And hope is restored. When you give thanks, your focus shifts from your problems to your blessings. If we are going to overcome our struggle with doubt, we must change our focus. Instead of focusing on our problems, let's focus on the problem solver. Jesus Christ is our problem solver. He makes a way where there seems to be no way. He is the miracle worker, the chain breaker, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He's the friend that sticks closer than a brother. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the soon coming King, and he's the restorer of hope. And he's with you today, wanting to set you free from your struggle. Gaining freedom starts by thanking God for all that he has done. When you give thanks, doubt is defeated and your faith is restored. To overcome doubt, we must recognize that doubt is not a new problem. It's a normal part of broken people responding to a gracious and holy God. In the midst of our doubt, we must recognize that the crisis of faith is not the end of our story. Shift our focus off our problems and start thanking God for all that he has done. I want us to stay in this atmosphere. In a few moments, as a family, as a body of Christ, as fellow believers, we are going to partake in the Lord's Supper together. I want you to take a few minutes to prepare yourselves by examining your hearts. Ask God to reveal those things inside of you that are not pleasing to him. Give those to God. Allow him to clean out your heart. And as you do that, begin preparing the elements. While you're preparing your elements, Pastor Martin will lead us in a prayer, followed by communion. May God bless you.
Thank you so very much, Pastor Tim, for that wonderful message. Before I pray, I would like to invite you to partake into communion with us. Now, this is the first time we've done virtual communion, but I pray that you have the bread and the wine or the juice already prepared before you. If not, perhaps you could do that later. Now, this is a solemn thing. It is a serious thing, what we do before the Lord. And Jesus said, and that happened on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread and he said, this represents my body given for you. So he took the bread and he broke it. And this is a representation of Christ's body. And also he poured the wine and he said, this is my blood that is poured out for you. Before we partake of the emblems, it tells us that we should examine ourselves, that we don't partake in an unworthy manner. So I don't really want to rush this time, that we just jump straight in and take the emblems. I'd like to just take a time of prayer that the Lord would convict us if there's anything that we need to confess, if there's anything that we need to put right with our brother or sister, that we would take this moment, that we wouldn't bring judgment upon ourselves by partaking of the table in an unworthy manner. So, Father God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, never condemning us, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we thank you for your prompting and for your conviction. So search our hearts, Lord, that we may partake in these emblems in a worthy manner. So I pray that you would join with me in taking the bread that represents Christ's body. Represents his blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant between God and mankind. We thank you for these emblems, O God. El Shaddai, Almighty God, Abba Father, we come to you and we can call you Daddy, and we come to you not as strangers but as your dearly loved children. So we can boldly approach your throne of grace with full confidence. We thank you that Christ Jesus our Lord, for your death upon the cross, and that your death brought us life, and your pain and suffering purchased for us joy. Your resurrection gives us hope and eternal life and security. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you have sealed us, that you have marked us, that you have separated us. We thank you that you've put your Spirit in us as an eternal deposit that guarantees our inheritance. We thank you, Jesus, that you will finish what you started because you are faithful. And we thank you for that, this glorious salvation. Lord, we're mindful of the times that we live in, and we come before you asking your mercy on us to halt the spread of the COVID-19. We pray that for those that are infected already, that they may receive prompt, efficient and compassionate medical care, and that you would restore them to full health. We pray your protection and grace over us, your church, your body. We pray, Lord, for the medical care and the workers. We pray, Lord, that you will bless them, protect them, that they are working courageously and treating those that are already infected. We pray for those that are under quarantine, that they might be comforted by your presence and protected from the disease and anxiety and from anxiety and fear. Help us, O Lord, to trust you no matter what. Help us face the day, strengthen our resolve. Free us from all fears. Remove our fear, O Lord, and strengthen us, O Father. Help us to be filled continually with your Holy Spirit. May our cups overflow and impact those around us, even if that is virtually. I pray, Lord, the light of your Spirit would shine bright within us. And I pray, Lord, that we would be full of salt, of savour and flavour to those around us, so they could see the hope during this crisis and wonder why we are so assured. And help us to share our faith for those that you bring across our paths, whether at work, through the internet, through social media, whatever that may be. Help us have ears to hear what you say to your church. Help us to be actively and courageously seeking and pursuing you in our life. I pray that you would speak to us through sermons like Pastor Tim's, through your word that we read daily, and through each other and your Holy Spirit. Help us realize, Lord, all humankind are made in the image of God and therefore have much value and worth in Jesus' name. And the church said, Amen.
Amen.
I would like you to ask, to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, Pastor Tim, for joining us today. I thank you for joining us on Facebook Live, whether you're watching this live or you're watching it as another day. I pray that God will speak to you, that he would lead you and he would guide you, and that you would become to know him as your Lord and Savior if you do not know already. So before you go, I'd like to bless you with a benediction. Now to him who is able to do more, exceedingly abundantly more than we can ask or imagine, according to the power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Be blessed. God bless you. And see you.